Well, men, understand that when you think about your marriage, you single men, you think about what you want out of marriage and what reason that you exist if you're going to get married, is that you are to pay attention to the spiritual environment that you establish in your home.
Welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, I'm Bill Wright. We're continuing our series, When Marriage Gets Difficult. Last time, Don presented part one of his message, The Christ-like Husband. Don gave us a principle needed for husbands to biblically provide spousal love. Husbands are to give their wives a sacrificial love. Today, Don will provide a second important principle having to do with sanctification. So have your Bible open to Ephesians chapter 5 as we join our teacher now in the Truth Pulpit.
And so you see, men, and I can speak on this from experience, you are thinking about marriage all wrong if you're thinking about your wife as someone who is there to serve you. You're thinking about it all wrong if you think that she exists and that the purpose of marriage from your perspective is for her to exist for you. Your perspective, your core defining idea about your marriage is, I exist to lay myself down on her behalf, for her well-being, for what she needs. That's the way you're to think about marriage. Yes, God has given her to you as a helpmeet, but you don't turn her role into marriage into what you demand out of it for yourself. You think about marriage from the perspective, God has given me into this relationship in a manner that somehow resembles the way Christ was given to the church. What did Christ do? He sacrificed himself. Therefore, what do I do in marriage? I sacrifice myself for my wife. You've got to start there. If you're not starting from that perspective in the way that you define your existence in marriage, you've already missed the boat. You're sinning against God by a self-centered approach to marriage. If you're not starting from that perspective, this isn't me. This is the Bible. You think I like knowing that I have to go out and respond to this? Well, actually, I do. We're glad to respond to anything that Christ lays down on us. But I realize the responsibility of it, and don't take it lightly. Men, you must say in your mind, it must be clear in your mind that you laid down your life for your wife because Christ laid down his life for his church. That's where you start. You put her needs ahead of your own. And this godly love takes place in the context of the daily routine of life. You sacrifice, and it shows when you change your schedule for your wife's benefit, when you talk with her, when you adapt your life to support her, when you remember, as Scripture says elsewhere, that she's a weaker vessel, and yet she's given to you as a fellow heir of this grace of life. And so you give her a sacrificial love, and you realize, and it's defined in your mind, that, wow, you know, I'm here to lay myself down for her. Now, those of you that are single, those of you that are young men looking on the front end, you know, this makes you think rightly about marriage. Is this the woman that I want to love like that? Do I want to lay myself down for her? And suddenly it's you realize that there's more than external beauty and attraction that goes into your contemplations about how you think about marriage and what you want out of it. You know, I want to give myself over to a godly woman and make her a better woman through being married to me, is the way you think about it, instead of that selfish perspective about what can I get out of that, and, you know, all of the things that go into it. You know, and look, I'm all in favor, despite what I said about Valentine's Day, I'm all in favor of romance and all of that, especially when you're wired that way and you're especially sensitive. I'm not denying that. I'm just saying that that can't be the controlling feature of it. And, you know, the time will come, young men, unmarried men, the time will come when the affections and the emotions die down like a booming charcoal fire settles down, and the flame of all of those emotions, you know, it's not like that forever. And then you'll deal with the question of, well, now what? Well, make sure when you get to the now what part of marriage that you've got a woman that you want to give yourself over and sacrifice to. If you see beforehand that she's ugly towards her parents or unkind to people around or that she's a backbiter, understand that that's the kind of woman that you're going to be laying your life down for, and let it affect the way that you the decisions that you make. You know, that's why you want a godly woman, not just a worldly woman, because you're going to give her a sacrificial love regardless of how she responds to you. Why? Because that's what Christ calls you to. And it is independent of what your wife is like. So you give her a sacrificial love. Now, I'm going to pivot to point number two here. But let me just say something else. I'm going to all kinds of unexpected places here as I preach today. At the end of this message, I am not going to do what is so common. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and make some kind of big emotional public demonstration of how committed you're going to be to your marriage going forward. I think that kind of stuff is just, you know, it's just superficial and foolish ultimately. When you drive people through these superficial external commitments, you know, you act like everything's a crisis moment. It is as if a crisis moment and standing up after a 50-minute message and is going to change everything. It doesn't work that way. You know that from experience, that an emotional decision made at a point in time, and I'm going to change everything going forward, life doesn't work that way. You don't live that way. You know, that carries on for 36 hours maybe, and then you're back to where you were. And so we're not driving toward any kind of climax like that here today, men. It's just so you know what to expect. You know, that's a whole philosophy of ministry behind that. What you need to see and where the lasting change for you comes is when you think deeply on these things and you embrace them. And when you realize that Scripture calls you this way in response to Christ, and it has to settle in, and you need to think about these things and ruminate over them and meditate on them over a period of time. That's where the long change comes, where your heart affections and attitudes and priorities and commitments start to shift because this exceeding worth of Christ has been so clear and evident in your mind that your affections toward your wife naturally follow. And you can't generate that kind of deep response to Christ simply by an emotional appeal to stand up at the end of a message. So just so you know, we're not going there. I want something far deeper for you and from you in this. I want you to see Christ, men, and to love Him and to respond to Him and realize that your wife is just an overflow of that. That's what this passage is about. So Christ loved the church and sacrificed for Him. Men, whatever it means in your life, however it plays out in the context of your current existence and your current marriage, whatever your situation is right now, your response is, and the Spirit of God will help you understand and apply it, your response is, I've got to sacrifice and love her in a sacrificial way. That's what I'm called to do here. And you start there. And work it out. I'm not going to tell you what that looks like. How could I know what that looks like? How could a pastor ever know what that's supposed to look like in your life on Tuesday evening and Wednesday afternoon and Thursday morning? I don't know what that looks like. The whole point is that you take this principle and you seriously embrace it, and then you go out and you apply it for yourself. Now, secondly, you give her a sacrificial love. Secondly, you give her a sanctifying love. A sanctifying love. Christ's goal, and I know that some of you men need to hear this directly and personally, but I'll try not to point my finger at you as I go along here. We all need this. You give her a sanctifying love. What does that mean? Christ's goal in dying for the church was that He would purify a people for Himself. That He would purchase a people and they would be set apart for Him, and that they would live a holy and blameless life to His glory. Now, that's the pattern that God gives for the husband to think about the way that they are to relate to their wives. Look at verses 26 and 27 with me again. Paul states the purpose for which Christ gave himself up for the church when he says, so that he might sanctify her, set her apart, in other words, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. That Christ died so that we would be living in this life in a morally pure and blameless way. He wants to separate us from sin. Not just the consequences, the eternal damnation that sin brings on unrepentant people. Not just the consequences, but that there would be a revolution, a transformation of character that would take place in the lives of those who are born again. Look over at Titus chapter 2, verse 14. We looked at this verse when we were meeting in northern Kentucky. Titus chapter 2, just a few pages over to your right, after the first and second letters to Timothy. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Paul echoing to Titus the same kinds of things that he said to us here in Ephesians. When he says, Christ Jesus, Titus 2, verse 14, gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. So Christ died for the church in order to separate them from sin, to purify them, and to make them a people that was set apart to live for his glory. That's why he loved us and gave himself up for us. Now, what Paul is saying is that that is your pattern as a husband. Notice this, men. It's something that you ought to be profoundly grateful for, as I am also and need to be. The Lord Jesus Christ did not love you because you were already pure. He did not love you because you were blameless and were such a great model of moral rectitude that he just had to have you for his own. No, not at all. Christ loved you when you were still dead in sin. Christ loved you when you were a rebel and profaned his name with your life and heart and attitude, and everything about you was displeasing. Christ, in that, knowing that you were like that and would be like that, in that condition, Christ gave himself up for you to rescue you from that and to make you into someone new. He said he loved you and gave himself up for you to sanctify you, to separate you from that prior existence. Now, what does that say to you about your purpose in marriage? Oh boy, men, do we need to hear this? And do you need to hear this? Men, in some ways, your defining goal and your primary responsibility for your wife is to look after, to pursue, to help her, to establish her moral purity before the Lord. To be an instrument that sanctifies her and increases the purity of her own life. Christ, as he works out his purposes of sanctification in the life of believers, men, is purifying us and making us and conforming us to his image, bringing us more and more away from our prior sinful selves and making us more and more like him. Do you understand, then, that if that is Christ's purpose is for believers and you are to be like Christ, and Christ has given you a position of authority over your wife that somehow resembles his position of authority over the church, you look at Christ and say, his purpose for the church defines the way that I relate to my wife. And therefore, the moral purity, the spiritual growth of my wife is my primary responsibility in this marriage relationship. Now, I know that most of you never think about it that way. That thought's never occurred to you. Because you're wrapped up thinking, I got to provide financially and all that, and it's good and necessary and proper that you do. But by comparison to your wife's spiritual condition, that is incidental. A lot of wives have throughout church history, do now and will in the future, flourish under the leadership of a man who has difficulty financially simply because he's a godly man. And she grows and she flourishes under that. Well, men, understand that when you think about your marriage, you single men, you think about what you want out of marriage and what the reason that you exist if you're going to get married is that you are to pay attention to the spiritual environment that you establish in your home. The loving husband shields his wife from worldly influence. The loving husband fosters an environment that promotes spiritual growth and moves her away from the effects of her sin so that she would be holy unto the Lord. Your wife's spiritual growth somehow should be a defining priority in the way that you order life, in the way that you interact with her, and most certainly in the way that you pray for her. You want a verse to pray for your wife on going forward from this day forward? 2 Peter 3:18. Lord, whatever else you do in my wife's life, Lord, I pray that you would help her grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can't go wrong praying that, can you? We're commanded to do that. It's apparently what God wants from us. And if we pray according to His will, Scripture says He hears us. Men, don't violate her conscience. Don't thrust her into entertainment that glorifies sin and defiles her. And don't you engage it yourself. How are you supposed to have a sanctifying influence on your wife if you're constantly feeding sinful sewage into your mind and heart? How's that going to happen? How are you going to promote her holiness if you're pursuing sin? Tell me, how's that going to happen? You're going to lead your wife in the direction that you're going. You see, it's not just your sin. It's not that you can sin in private in marriage and not have it affect your wife. Your indifference and your violation of the holiness that God calls you to has a spillover effect on your wife because you're unsanctified in the way that you're living. Well, see, it doesn't work that way. You can't think selfishly about sin that way. God says you are to be like Christ in this relationship. Christ, the Holy One, seeking the purity and the holiness and the blamelessness of the one under Him. Well then, men, that means that we're called to a lofty standard of holiness that we are to act on, to live on, to embrace and carry out, and that we're to be mindful that we pursue that for our wives as well. Whatever that looks like in the context of your home. And if you've wronged her, ask her to forgive you. Don't be so proud. You need to have a sanctifying influence on her. A sacrificial perspective and a sanctifying influence. That's why God gave you that woman. You say, oh, but she's not a godly woman. Okay, well, I wonder why that is. But, that just means that you've got work to do. How is it that if a man is trying to lead you spiritually and God has given that man to lead you and you are to submit to him, how is it that you can be righteous? How is it that you can separate and be antagonistic and go a separate way from your husband who's doing his best to lead you? How can you possibly be righteous doing that? You can't. You're to submit to him. You're to follow him. And if you're not doing that, you're the one in sin. And so, all of that to say, ladies, that when you walk out and you whatever your failings of your Christian husband is, you know things that you can affirm, you walk out and you affirm him and you say, honey, thank you. I'm glad God gave you to me. My wife says that to me all the time. Look, I've said a lot of things here and I've said them really strongly. I don't want to overwhelm you with more things that are yet to come. Shouldn't we be glad to walk out of here remembering the fact that Christ loved us with a sacrificial love? and that He died to sanctify us because He created us and He made us and He saved us in order to be a people set apart for Him? Of course. That's a great thought for us to carry out. We walk out of here just so grateful to the Lord, remembering that He laid Himself down for us and that He set us apart, and that changes the whole reason that we exist in life altogether. And then to realize in marriage that, oh, that means I need to be a sacrificial husband. I need to have the sanctification of my wife at the core. You know what? I think that if we all walked out meditating on those things and applying those to our hearts, this would be a really successful day. And then we can pick it up as we finish later on. But here's the thing. As we wrap this up, let me just finish with this story to kind of give you something to think about and hang it on as we go on. I remember many years ago, I knew a new Christian, and he exemplified these things in a remarkable way that was far beyond the years of his Christian experience. It was incredible. My friend Jay had a wife who was distant, and Jay is not somebody that I ever worked with or anything like that. We were just friends in different Christian circles. And his marriage was difficult to the point that his wife refused intimacy to him. She was cold and hard and stubborn. But he was a new Christian with a new life and a new heart. And so what did he do? He just loved her and he said, I'm going to stick it out with her. He gave himself to her sacrificially and with devotion over time, wife not responding, but he just kept living this way. God bless him, because it's what God called him to do. He's responding vertically to the love of God, saying, here is the way that I apply it in my life. I apply it and I sacrifice myself and I give myself over to this unresponsive woman. And he did it time and time again over time. Well, you know what happened eventually? That wife of his, Kathy, started to talk with him. He established trust. He built trust over time. She saw this is a new pattern in his life. There's something new. And his pattern of behavior and attitudes toward his wife started to melt her heart. And she started to talk with him in a new way. And for the first time, years into their marriage and months after his conversion, for the first time, she opened up and she told him, Jay, you don't know how men have abused me in the past. You don't know what men did to me before we were married, before I met you, but let me tell you. And with tears streaming down her face, all of that hurt and all of that pain came out as she spoke with him. Jay listened to her, held her as she cried on his shoulder. And over a period of time, that sanctifying love, that sacrificial love that he gave to his wife, turned her into a godly woman who was glad to be his wife and was glad to respond to him in every way imaginable. That result, that sanctifying influence that Jay had on his wife, never would have happened if he had been angry over the resistance that she had had in the past. Never would have come about. And yet, there they are. That kind of patient care, ministering to the needs of his wife, his self-centered desires put on hold. Men, you know what? I promise you that a Christian woman will submit to a man like that. And if your wife is someone who lacks submission, before you blame her and rebuke her and complain about her, examine yourself first. Ask yourself, has my perspective been one to give a sacrificial love to my wife? Has my perspective been one to give a sanctifying influence to my wife? Work through those things this week. And then we'll come back and we'll look at the rest of the passage together.
A sanctifying love seeks a wife's growth in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. A husband displaying such love will do everything in his power to make the marriage and home places of building up in that way. Pastor Don Green has more principles for husbands next time on the Truth Pulpit as he continues our series, When Marriage Gets Difficult. We hope you'll join us then. Right now, Don's back in studio with a special request.
Well, you know, my friend, I feel very blessed by God to be able to do what I do. I have a church that is loving and supportive of me, that love to hear God's word. I have this radio broadcast. I have the opportunity to speak to you in a personal manner like this. What a wonderful gift that is. You know, I would just encourage you, if the Lord ever brings us to your mind, pray for us. We're like all men in ministry. We feel our inadequacy. We realize that we need the power of the Holy Spirit to attend the work that we do so that there would be eternal fruit for your good and for the glory of Christ. So pray for us as the Lord brings us to mind. Pray for those that support the Truth Pulpit with the labor of their hands. We have a wonderful team, and we're just so grateful for you as you listen to us day by day on the Truth Pulpit.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we hope you'll visit thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about our ministry, our podcasts, and free CDs of Don's teaching. That's thetruthpulpit.com. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time on The Truth Pulpit.